from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
This hour on 670 The Score is brought to you by Cards for Kids. That's Cards with a K for Kids.
Now the 2-2 on the way. And Baez drives one in the air. Deep left field. It's got a chance. Cubs win. Javi Baez with a game-winning home run.
We're back with more of The Score Afternoon Show with Matt Spiegel and Anthony Herron on Sports Radio 670 The Score and live on the free Odyssey app.
I have to assume that that highlight will be one of the ones that play in a video tribute tonight at Wrigley Field.
I really hope so.
I mean, there's a lot.
Yeah.
There's a lot that could play. It's got to be something involving base running and just the wackiness that that man would bring to a field. And then that home run, maybe the 2016 NLDS one that beat Johnny Cueto and the Giants that night. We'll have to see exactly what happens. We are joined now here on the afternoon show with Spiegs and Anthony Herron by Odyssey MLB insider Brett Boone. Insider calls are presented by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call, click Grainger.com or just stop by. Brett is also the host of the Brett Boone podcast featuring the most notable names in MLB and around sports every week. Brett, what's up, man? Welcome to The Score. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you guys doing?
We're good. What was it? I mean, did you enjoy watching Javier Baez in his prime as much as we did? And what the hell has happened in your opinion?
I'll tell you. You know, I did watch him. You know, that right when they were changing the rules on the tag. You know, Javi was the newest, hottest. Wow, he tags faster than everybody else. So he caught my eye early. I remember him as a young player. I worked with the Oakland A's for a year, and around 2014, he was a young big leaguer at that time. You know, this guy was the limit with him from a physicality standpoint. Had some great years with the Cubs, was an all-star a couple times, went to the post, played, stayed pretty much injury-free. And it seems like, other than his first year in Detroit, I think he hit 17 home runs. Ever since then, it's kind of been on a two-year real troublesome times for him. Now, as a player, I've gone through it. You know, I came up in 1992, 1994, I hit 320. And in 1996, man, I really lost. I mean, I had nights under the bleachers at Old Riverfront Stadium in Cincinnati with tears in my eyes. Well, what has happened? I can't hit. And that lasted for 2 years, 96, 97. After the 97 season, I just revamped my entire swing and got back to being a real productive player again. The league had made the adjustment to me. I had not made the adjustment to the league. And that's what I see from Javi in the last couple of years is just, there is just no adjustment. It's that same freewheeling swing, which I can understand the subconscious as a hitter. It's always telling yourself, well, I've had some great years. I've hit 30 plus home runs with this swing. But until you get to the point where it's so bad where you're going, I have to make a major change. And it's not something you make mid-season. You know, it's not that easy. It's not like a golf swing that you revamp for 6 weeks, especially in the middle of the big league season. Big league season, you got to make any adjustment you can survive the 162. And then in the offseason, you have to do a complete makeover just to get that confidence back. Because after a while, as confident as we may seem on the outside, we're pretty vulnerable when it comes to our egos when things don't go good. And if you have as much failures as Javi's had in his recent career, you can't help but, you know, it's a lack of confidence. And I see it. They just played a series with the Mariners, I saw him hit a two-run homer to win a game, and that was like, he's got, what, 7 or 8 this year. So, yeah, he's really fallen a long, long way ever since he signed that contract. Thing about it is I look at his plate appearances, and it's not like he went away and hid. You know, he didn't sign the deal and then quit playing and always on the IL. He's playing this year. You know, his plate appearances are down with some injuries. But when you're hitting 188, you're going to have more days off. Believe me, I've lived through it. And you're going to have more days off than you want when you're not getting it done at the plate.
We've seen so many examples here in Chicago between the two ball clubs of players who look like they were going to be stars in this town and sustainable success, whether it's Tim Anderson or Chris Bryant, Javi Baez we're talking about right now, returning to town. At the moment, Wilson Contreras seems to be the only one, at least out of the names I mentioned here, who went elsewhere, you know, faltered for a little bit, and has now sort of found himself in St. Louis. Baseball is such an individual sport. Where does the adjustment period, is that born from within the player? Do they usually initiate it with the ball club? Does it come from the ball club to the player to say, hey, here's what we want you to work on this offseason. Here's a team to help you do it.
No, it's an individual to individual type basis. It's not somebody from the front office is going to come down and say, hey, we really need, no, you know, my answer is, oh, really? I didn't know. I thought I was doing great. You think I need to up my average? You think my OPS needs to be higher? You think I need to start swinging at more strikes? Believe me, as a player, and that's why hitting is the hardest thing to do, I believe, in all of sports, is it's hard. And, man, it's humbling. To go through the things I've gone through in my career, you know, I think it's pretty safe to say when you're talking about a player when they're struggling, when they're doing well, flip over their bubblegum card, and you can usually see what to expect at the end of a season. Some seasons are really good. Some seasons are right where you believe, a little below. But usually a player follows that bubblegum card. With Javi Baez, it definitely doesn't. With myself, it definitely doesn't. I had all-star years in the early 90s. In the early 2000s, I had some lean years in the middle 90s. So with no rhyme or reason, all I know is as a big league player, when you get to the big leagues, you're supposed to be a finished product. You're not supposed to be a work in progress. That's for the minor leagues. So the onus is on us as players to figure out what is wrong. When it gets bad enough, it's like, wait a minute, I got to scrap this. I got to go back to the basics and redo this and make an adjustment. Because if you don't make adjustment, eventually you won't have a uniform anymore. Hmm. And that's what happens to a lot of players.
Talking to Brett Boone from the Brett Boone Podcast and Odyssey. Insider Calls brought to you by Grainger for the ones who get it done. Grainger offers professional-grade supplies and solutions made for every industry and backed by product experts. Call, click Grainger.com or just stop by. All right, I'm looking at the baseball reference page. Brett, and you know, you referenced the years of 96 and 97 where the batting, well, you asked for it. Yeah. I appreciate it. I mean, but let's have the realness, you know. OPS, right. OPS is 630, 629, and then the bounce back comes. But you had not been paid in terms of a big, big contract at that point. Javi now has. Chris Bryant in Colorado now has. Here, observing the White Sox, we've been watching Eloy Jimenez, who got one of those preemptive extensions. Luis Robert, who got one of those preemptive extensions. And, you know, and you hate to go towards character assassination, but maybe there's a way to talk about it that isn't character assassination. I mean, you must have seen it where with the guaranteed contract, somebody gets paid, and the desire to make that change that you made that offseason, it's probably tougher to access when the guaranteed money is coming in on some level, no?
Well, I can only speak for myself. And I think, yes, I think you're right. You have to be very aware of the individual you're dealing with that you're going to give that big time money to. You know, there's a lot that goes into that more than just the numbers that particular year. I have to do a wide scope on what am I paying this guy on? What do I think he's going to do if I give him this kind of money? I know from, and I can only speak for myself. My first big deal was, I signed a deal in the 90s, but I signed a big deal with the Seattle Mariners, big in our day, for 2001. And I signed a 4-year deal. And I know for me individually, that didn't matter one bit. I remember some early in 2002, I was having a tough time. And I remember the reporters talking to me about this and saying, Brett, you signed a big deal. Does that have anything to do with it? And I remember, and this is as honest as I could be with them, I said, I could care less what that check says every 2 weeks. Now, one day when I'm done playing and I'm with my family, I would be more than grateful for the money I was able to make. But at the time, in the moment, for me, the individual, I could care less how much money I was making. I was still playing like I was that rookie in 1992 to prove that I was worthy of that contract. I always found something to play for. And the money had no bearing on how I played the game, how much I cared about my results in the game. It was just never a factor for me. Well, that's me. I've also seen people that do sign those deals get really comfortable, and they really don't care, and they mail it in a little bit. So I think from an ownership standpoint, from a front office standpoint, you have to be really prudent when you're giving out these big deals, especially the money that's going around now. You really have to break down the individual and not just the statistics.
And Brett, we've seen two different approaches, really. When you kind of look at the past decade here in town with the baseball teams, each have tried to build sustainability. The Cubs built up their minor league system a little over a decade ago, and then less than a decade ago, it led to a World Series title. But that excellence was sustained only for a short period of time. White Sox took the opposite approach a few seasons later. They went ahead, built up their minor league system, and then paid everybody before they got to the bigs. They haven't sustained a thing. Which approach in modern baseball do you think makes more sense? Once you build up the minors, do you pay them early and hope to develop them later, or is it the inverse?
Well, I think if you go way back to the years with the Cleveland Indians, they were the first to really do that. Buy their young players out of arbitration a couple years and go from that. The Manny Ramirez's, the Jim Tomey's of the early 90s, that's what they did in Cleveland, and that was kind of the model. I think today, if you look at the blueprint of what to do, run it like the Tampa Bay Rays. Talk about a winning culture with limited resources. You look at the money, you know, of course, the Yankees, the Red Sox, the Dodgers of the world, they're going to have huge payrolls, and you have some flexibility about how you seek other players via free agency or through trades. You have a lot more resources at your fingertips. I look at the Tampa Bay Rays year in and year out, the culture they've established there. And I've got to give a lot of credit to that organization. They have limited payroll, one of the lower payrolls year in and year out. And yet every year they're knocking at that door to go to the postseason. And I think Kevin Cash and company have really developed a winning culture. I think when teams go to the Tampa Bay Rays, I think when they walk through that door in spring training, you expect to win. It's like, no, not whether we're going to go to the postseason, when we go to the postseason, and how far are we going to get in the postseason. The only thing Tampa Bay hasn't done is won a World Series. But I think as far as modeling a franchise, man, imagine having their model with some more resources, what the Tampa Bay Rays could do. So I think as far as a model, that, I think it's in today's game, it's just that winning culture, and I can't talk enough about it. It's about being a manager. It's not about the X's and O's. It's not about bringing the lefty in the seventh. It's not about bringing the righty tendencies. The computer can do all that nowadays. We have unbelievable data at our fingertips, but it's running individuals. It's being a people person. It's being the CEO of a company. It's dealing with egos and personalities in that clubhouse, dealing with stars and dealing with the 26 man on the roster. I think you have to know how to go up to one guy, give him a kick in the butt, and you got to give that next guy a hug to get the same results. And I think that's what the great managers and the great managers I've played for definitely did. I remember in the early 90s, Davey Johnson, one of the best managers I've ever played for. Man, he was tough on me. But I see how he was to other players, and he was nice and always giving them hugs. Years later, I asked him, he said, Brett, because I knew if I pushed your buttons and I pissed you off enough, for you, your personality, you played better. And I look back and I said, you were brilliant. He goes, no, I've just been around a little bit. So I think that's what today's job of the manager is you're managing a lot of egos that are making a lot of money. How do I keep them all happy? More importantly, how do I give them the best chance, put them in the best position to succeed? And if I can do that enough times throughout that lineup, I have the best chance of being a successful franchise in the wins and losses when it's all said and done.
See, I love talking about managers. I love that kind of conversation. And what you're saying makes all the sense in the world. And still, I look at the White Sox managerial job, and I have a difficult time seeing how that's as important as some other managerial jobs, because the organization is just so far away and there's so much mess there. It's like, how much difference could a manager even make for the White Sox? And would you take the job?
Well, here's the thing. I think it would be an interesting challenge. But you have to be on the same page with your general manager. I think that's one of the most important things in the job of managers. Are you on the same page as your general manager? I look at a Young and a Bochy in Texas who won a World Series a year ago. They couldn't be on the same page any more than the two of them are. He played for Bruce. Bruce is obviously going to be a Hall of Fame manager. They have the utmost respect for one another, but they work hand in hand from the trade deadline to what we need to what we need to get rid of. And when you have that relationship, it starts there. Now, I can talk as much as I want about managing people. And I'll tell you what, if you don't have talent, you're not going to win at this level. You got to have a certain level of talent. But that doesn't necessarily mean you have to have all superstars. It's more about putting together a team. It's not just putting together guys that had great years last year. I want to know the personality. I want to know the individual. You can't put certain people with other people. I think a year ago in San Diego, the Juan Soto and the Machado and the Tatis in the same lineup, young superstar players making a lot of money, I don't think it was a good fit. When I saw Soto go to the New York Yankees, I thought that's going to be an unbelievable move because Soto's going to go into a Yankee clubhouse with Aaron Judge and Giancarlo Stanton and, Nate Coles of the world, and that's their clubhouse, and he's just going to play like heck. Well, come to find out, if Aaron Judge wasn't in the league, Juan Soto would be the MVP. So I don't think about – it's just about gathering talent and putting – if you get an all-star team, you're probably going to win by default. But it's not about gathering talent. It's about gathering talent that works together. And that piece works with that piece, works with that piece. That takes a lot of background work and a lot of tenuous work, but I'll tell you what, it's worth it. That's how you build a winning organization and a winning culture. But you got to be on board, you and your general manager. I think that's number one important.
My problem with the Yankees is their manager, that guy. Whew.
He's a pain. I'll tell you what, he's a pain in the neck, that guy.
He is, right?
I love him to death. We talk about once a week. And sometimes he's got questions for me. Hey, what do you think about this? I always give him my answer. Sometimes he heeds my advice. Sometimes he doesn't. I tell him I'm right a hell of a lot more than you, Aaron. And he'll fight me on that. But I'm proud of him, what he's done. He's on that hot flame all the time when you're in New York. You lose two in a row, you're the worst. They want you hung in the town square. And then a week later, you win 6 out of 7, and you're the greatest thing since sliced bread. So that's just when you sign the dotted line, when you sign up to be the manager of the New York Yankees, you know what comes with the territory. I had this talk with him a year ago when he signed his extension. He's like, what do you think? I said, what do I think? You're the manager of the New York Yankees. Where the hell else would you want to go? I said, if you win one title there, you're going to have the key to that city for the rest of your life. I said, I can put up with the Twitter guys and the talk radio. You know what you got to do. Hey. You've got control of that clubhouse, and baseball is really hard. It's not 1940 where they can just dominate every year. It's a different atmosphere in big league baseball now, and he knows that. But he's got a good team. You got to stay healthy. 2024, that's what I'm finding covering all these teams, is the people that are healthy at the right time usually have an advantage, because health is such a big part in today's game.
Well, Chicago does have a similar vibe to that New York market. I noticed you didn't answer when Spiegs kind of slid in the question about whether or not you would take the White Sox managerial job. You kind of ignored that part of it, Brett.
I would definitely have conversations. I would definitely, because that's something I've been asked about recently. Whether I'd be, 2 years ago, I wouldn't have thought about managing. The more I watch it, I think it would be probably the biggest challenge of my lifetime. But I think I'd be really good at it without being arrogant. But if that option, and I were to get into that room and get an interview and have an opportunity to do it, I definitely would have to look at it.
Hey, man.
It's in the bloodlines.
It's in the bloodlines. And
generations.
And jumping from media to manager is quite a thing these days. So
you guys in the media are the easiest part of it.
Hey, that's you too, buddy. That's you. That's you too. Latest episode of the Brett Boone podcast has Scott Podsednik. Scotty Pods is on there with Brett. We'll check it out. Thanks, man. Appreciate the time.
I appreciate it, guys. Thank you.
You got it. That's Brett Boone. He joined us on the Score Hotline presented by Circa Resort and Casino Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. Odyssey MLB Insider Brett Boone. Insider calls are presented by Grainger, with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Yankees closer guy, Clay Holmes, has been pretty bad. He's blown 10 saves, the most blown saves in all of baseball. He's ahead of the six that Craig Kimbrell has blown and Hector Neris.
I was going to say, where's Hector Neris?
Yeah, Hector Neris blew six saves. He's gone. Hector Neris is gone. And nobody who with at least 16 saves in MLB had a worse walks plus hits per innings pitched than Hector Neris. So of everybody who got save chances and converted some, he was the guy who led up the most in terms of base runners. And that's one of the bits of news of the day. Hector Neris designated for assignment. Hey, I want to tell you about something I'm doing on the 5th of September. It is the night of impact for Ben Zobrist's organization, Champion Forward. And on that night is a gala event at Galleria Marchetti that Ben Zobrist will be there for, and I am your MC that night.
Nice.
On the 5th of September, Thursday night. And so you can check it out. I will tweet out the link at championforward.org/events. There are a couple tickets left. There are a couple tables left. And it is a very, very cool organization that I had known about. We had Ben on this show when it was known by something else.
Okay.
God, I forget what it was called.
Where are you going to tweet the link out at, by the way?
I will tweet it. Damn it, you're getting
just
me.
Just out of clarification. You know, the people need to
know. Tweet it from the Parkins and Spiegel account.
Oh, okay, from that account. Yeah. All right.
Champion Forward, their focus is helping teenage athletes, parents, and coaches experience sports in a mentally and emotionally healthy way. They work with schools, travel sports programs, coaching with teams, players, and parents. It's all about mental health, and Ben very, very passionate about it. So championforward.org/events. Check it out, and I look forward to being there on the 5th of September.
It was a parallel that I floated on this show, but neither you nor the other guy were here. It was me and Groats. And I'd be curious to get your thoughts on a parallel between baseball on the South Side and where the Bears are at right now.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah.
So you're gonna bridge the gap between baseball conversation that we've been having and the Chicago Bears that everyone wants to talk about.
Yeah, I'd be very curious for your thoughts on it.
That's next here on The Afternoon Show with Spiegs and Ann Herron on The Score.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
We're back with more of The Score Afternoon Show with Matt Spiegel and Anthony Herron on Sports Radio 670 The Score and live on the free Odyssey app.
We're going to talk to Paul Pabst from the Dan Patrick Show coming up in about 10, 12 minutes. But right now, Anthony Herron wants to tie the room together. Go, sir.
The concerns for where things sit on the South Side, it's been a fairly rapid decline, at least it feels that way, from watching the incline that the Sox were on and coming out of the COVID season and all the contracts that were doled out when all those young, talented studs were in the minor league system. They came to the major league level and began to win at a high level, made the postseason a couple years in a row. And the majority of those moves that were being made by Rick Hahn at the time were hailed, myself included, as setting the Sox up for this sustained success, you know, to take the Central and never give it back, if you will. And it felt like that all made sense. They were so young and talented and cost controlled. And now here we are 2 years later, and they're the worst team in baseball.
By far, and might be the worst in the history of baseball.
Maybe in the history of the sport. And 2 years ago, it seemed like so many moves that were being made, and so much of what Rick Hahn had crafted to get to that point had them set up for this sustained dominance, you know, in a division that wasn't really that deep. It didn't feel that deep. It seemed like they had the youngest and most talented lineup in baseball, just full of dudes that were getting ready to go to the moon with their talents, and both young and veteran arms that had been assembled with the starting staff. And then, you know, Hendricks bounces you from the postseason, so you go out and add Liam Hendricks into the mix as well. It just seemed like the White Sox were set up for this sustained excellence, and it hasn't turned out at all. They haven't developed a thing since then, and now here they are just doing what they can to sell stuff off, and they can't even sell everybody off because the contracts aren't even worth the paper they're printed on because the guys have performed so poorly. Mm-hmm. And now here we sit with the Bears, where Ryan Poles is being discussed in a very similar manner, maybe in a slightly more renowned manner than Rick Hahn was just, what, three seasons ago, like 2020, 2021, Rick Hahn, like that clown Kenny Williams, he didn't know what he was doing. They finally got Rick Hahn here running things, making baseball decisions. This is what a major league organization does. Now here's Ryan Poles. I, amongst thousands of other people, think Ryan Poles is doing an amazing job in reconstructing this Bears roster, fixing all the cap issues that were there with the franchise just a couple of seasons ago. And now you have this young, hungry team that seems like they're on the cusp of something, something that should be sustainable. I do have a bit of trepidation just in the reminder that it's never as easy, it's never as seamless as it feels in that time, because the best laid plans can still go horribly wrong, just like they did on the South Side.
Okay, so I get where you're coming from. And in terms of an experience and like feeling the wave of positivity and then seeing it go away and now feeling a new wave of positivity, I get the correlation.
Mm-hmm.
But
However,
the massive difference in the way that rosters are built and managed financially is a huge issue here. There's a salary floor for the Bears. Mm-hmm. There's a salary floor in the NFL. You have to spend a certain amount of money, and there's a salary cap. So the field is actually level across the league. Mm-hmm. The White Sox don't have a salary floor. They just decided to reach a certain level, but then they stopped short of doing what you really have to do to finish the job in terms of spending and on the pieces that will help you win. They didn't do that. They drew a line in the sand and said, we're not giving you $300 million, Manny mm-hmm. Machado. We'd give you $250. And he said, well, I asked for $300. Then he went somewhere else.
So where they didn't add more power might be similar to not adding another pass rusher?
No, because perhaps they're adding other things in lieu of that other pass rusher.
Oh, okay.
They've added other things because they still have to reach that okay. salary floor.
All right.
So they're still getting to where they need to be. That's one thing. There was a horrific coaching hire which torpedoed the culture
mm-hmm.
in Tony La Russa. A mm-hmm. disastrous coaching hire that torpedoed the culture and cut off the power of that general manager at the knees. Rick Hahn looking like a hostage when Tony was hired because it was taken away from him. He wasn't allowed to finish the job with a leader that fits his image.
Yeah.
Ryan Poles was allowed to hire Matt Eberflus, likes Matt Eberflus. They're lockstep. You just heard Brett Boone talking about the manager needs to be lockstep up with the GM. You had the mm-hmm. exact opposite on the South Side. So that is a big, big factor right there.
Up until this date on August 20th, you could argue Matt Eberflus, a very similar level of coach to Ricky Renteria, a guy who is viewed as a culture guy, a developmental influence, who is unproven as a head coach, who has not won at a high level as a head coach in the football
world. And you know what? If they play like ass this year and show a decrease in habits and mm-hmm. the culture goes downhill, then he's very much on the chopping block.
And so it would be akin to going and hiring Bill Belichick next year?
Right. Something like that, mm-hmm. where it's not but that would be akin to George McCaskey going out and hiring Bill Belichick and Ryan Poles having to be like, oh God,
uh-huh.
are we really doing this?
Uh-huh.
No, so it's interesting. Yeah. But the other thing is that within the culture, as soon as you decide you're not good enough and things start to fall apart, you got to do what Chris Getz has done and just get worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. Mm. In baseball, it's approved. In football, I mean, I guess Poles kind of did it. Like, yeah. He stripped it bare.
Right.
But there are fundamental differences in the way the teams are built and the way the salary cap is managed. And most of all, the way that a manager was hired that just immediately caused the thing to decay. Your thoughts on that rebuttal, sir?
I believe the managerial hire was certainly part of the issue. But I think we can only put so much on Tony La Russa for the lack of development with all the talent that was there. Mm-hmm. Michael Kopech immediately leaves town and looks like the Michael Kopech that we all dreamed he would be able to sustain. Now we're just, what, 9 appearances in? So who knows? Maybe he'll never make an All-Star game or something like that. But so far in L.A. of all places, Michael Kopech is the Michael Kopech that we dreamt of. And he looks like that in that pressure cooker of an environment.
I'll be very interested to see if that lasts. And I would have a hard time trusting him in a playoff situation.
Mm-hmm.
I would have a difficult time. I think he would end up leaning on fastball too much and getting rocked for a massive home run in a playoff
situation. That might 100% be true.
I hope it's not the case.
Eloy and Yoan and Luis. I mean, there's a bunch of guys who haven't developed anywhere near the scope of the talent that they seemingly have, aside from those couple of years with Tony La Russa. Now, the La Russa years matter. I'm not saying they don't, but I don't think we can blame the entire decay of the Sox on La Russa.
You can blame a lot of it. You can blame a lot of it on there. But there's two other things. One is that they paid a bunch of players before they'd done anything, and you don't have to do that in the NFL.
Right.
You know, in ways that
lock you up. Well,
you
don't have to do it in baseball either.
Right, they chose to.
Yeah, the Cubs didn't do it.
No.
But then after the Cubs didn't do it, the Cubs didn't sustain anything. Right. And so I was like, oh, look at what the Sox are doing on the heels of that.
Different horizons. That was on the 5-6 year mark, though. White Sox did it before Eloy had played a game.
But think
about
how
long. Before Luis Robert had played a game. Hang on, because we got a break. Mm-hmm. And the other big, big difference is that ownership. Jerry Reinsdorf is the one who torpedoed the organization because he hired Tony La Russa and because he drew that line in the sand. So he took the power away from the baseball boss. George McCaskey seems to be a guy, for better or for worse, lets his football people do their football thing, doesn't he? Especially now that Ted Phillips is gone.
Right, Kevin Warren's in place.
It's Ryan Poles' world. He's being allowed to fully achieve his vision. And Rick Hahn was not allowed to fully achieve his vision until it was late and La Russa had already been here and some of those players had fallen off and it had been a terrible mix. But it's an interesting conversation for sure.
Rick Hahn was not allowed to fully achieve his vision?
Absolutely was not. I'm not
sure if
it would
have worked. Aside from the La Russa hire, there's something else beyond that?
But he screwed up too. He absolutely screwed up too. I'm not absolving Rick Hahn.
Mm-hmm.
But the meddling ownership, playing with his vanity project, is a big difference between Jerry Reinsdorf and George McCaskey.
I would definitely agree with that. I also believe that we're in a situation where the Bears have not spent as much as they could spend, and we should watch them closely.
It is Paul Papst from the Dan Patrick Show coming up next right here with Speaks and Ann Heron on The Score.
What's the reason to duck? It's here. You know, there's no reason to duck. I'm here. Rome's here. Keenan Allen, you know, top 5 defense that we had last year. You know, special teams, all the new roles, whatever. You know, we're here. So I'm excited. I know everybody's excited. The Bear fans are excited from what I've heard and seen, and there's no reason to duck. You know, attack it, you know, head first, and go get it.
Dude, it's stuff like that that makes you think, like, from a mentality perspective, from a makeup perspective, that kid was made for this. You know? It is out of control. The love affair this town is having with Caleb Williams is out of control. It's Matt Spiegel and Anthony Heron right here with you on 670 The Score. And joining us on The Score Hotline, presented by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book, is Paul Papst, the executive producer of The Dan Patrick Show. What's up, Paul? Welcome in. How are you?
That cut you just played got me so fired up. I'd like to run through, not like a brick wall, but maybe some light drywall that hasn't been spackled yet that I could really get through. I'm fired up, man.
Yeah, as long as there's no stud behind it, you can be the stud going through it from the front
end.
You know?
Bring me back on the show.
It's outrageous, isn't it, Paul? Like, everything the dude says, is the love affair extending to national quarters like the Dan Patrick Show, sir?
It really is. On the Dan Patrick Show, and I think national media looks at teams, not whether they're good or bad necessarily, but if they're interesting, if they're compelling, if they're storylines. And when they had Fields, they were interesting because Fields was entertaining, but they weren't winning a lot. And then when the Bears had the number one draft pick, they became interesting. Whenever you have control of the draft, you control the news media, you control the sports news media. When Ryan Poles had that draft pick, I think he waited maybe 6 or 7 weeks after the season to let it go. They were the focal point. And then this past year, they were the focal point again of the offseason with the Caleb Williams draft. What are they going to do? Are they going to trade Fields? So they haven't dominated during the regular season, but they've been controlling the media in the offseason.
And your passions as a passionate Chicagoan yourself, and watching this all play out with the Bears, can you comp it to anything else that we've experienced of recent vintage? Yeah, you know, 2018 to 2019 had some expectations built around them with Trubisky. But is there kind of a space that we're in right now that feels new and vibrant in a way that we haven't been for a while with the Bears?
It really is a different level. The only thing I could compare it to, and it's not going to sound right now, but at the time, I think it was maybe April of 09 when the Bears acquired Jay Cutler, who was only like 25, 26 years old for the Denver Broncos. And that day, I can remember like Vince Vaughn tweeted out, "We got our quarterback, the actor." And you know, people in Chicago were going crazy. You got a young gunslinger, big, strong quarterback. It turned out to work in parts. It worked out here and there. It didn't ultimately work out. But I remember the excitement of 2009. It's not to this level, but that's probably the last thing.
No, it's absolutely true. I was here. I was working. That was a day that everybody went and got their Bears hat and was like, you know what? Let's go. But I mean, goodness, you've been through the worst of it. We've all been through the worst of it. What was the worst chapter for you? What was the lowest point of your relationship with Bears quarterbacks?
Oh, you know what? It's weird that they got to the Super Bowl with Rex Grossman, but it didn't even feel real. I remember it shouldn't sound like a bad day to go to the Super Bowl, but when that Bears team led by their defense got to the Super Bowl, I remember thinking, what are we doing here? Peyton Manning should be in the Super Bowl. Rex Grossman got here. Now, that wasn't awful, but it just didn't feel real. There's been a lot worse days. I mean, when Eric Kramer is the hope, you know, like, all right, that's how good could that be? But I look at the Bears right now, the way they own Chicago is it's the state of Chicago sports. And you guys were just talking about the White Sox. The White Sox are galactically bad, almost entertaining. They're so bad. The Cubs were surprisingly good last year, and then they had some expectations this year, and they disappointed. The Bulls are nondescript. They're not threatening, and they're not interesting, which set the stage for getting Caleb Williams. You get the Hall of Fame game. The Bears get that. Then they get Hard Knocks. Then the preseason, it really couldn't have gone much better on the field in the preseason. And then the schedule this year, we're going to get to that in a minute, but it's setting up to be, it's like no offseason I've ever been part of.
So, well, tell me about the schedule. What are you thinking about with the schedule? The fact that they wait so damn long to play a division game?
Well, I think that is a great thing. If you look at the Bears' schedule, they're home against a very beatable Tennessee team. Now, you talk about how things play in the national media. Let's say Caleb Williams has a nice game. The Bears win handily against Tennessee. Week 2 at Houston, a hot, popular team. 8:20 p.m. Eastern on NBC Sports, Football Night in America. If the Bears come in 1-0, you know, obviously 1-0, against Houston that day, it's going to be a referendum on the Bears nationally. They're going to go in hot. If they lose to Houston, I don't think they're going to get lit up too badly because Houston's got a leg up on them. They had a really good year last year. But let's say on national TV, Caleb Williams balls out and has some type of nice game. The Bears will take control of the sport for the next week.
You can see Pauly Papst on twitch.tv/Chicago670. The Score, as you see him all the time, is the executive producer of The Dan Patrick Show. He's here on Score Afternoons with Matt Spiegel and Anthony Herron. The way that the Bears have maneuvered through the offseason up to this point, it does seem like a locker room that's kind of been through some stuff the last couple of years together. You add Caleb and Rome Odunze, and sort of their ease with the limelight is really, you know, sort of having folks feel positive about this team and the ball club, the direction they're going. But the division is so deep, Paulie. So how do you sort of navigate with the Bears their future versus what actually is in a really deep division right now?
Well, I think all of us here and Bears fans should be excited, but I guess temperamental, or you know, temper their expectations. This is not a season where you should start thinking about a Super Bowl. I think the Lions are the class of the division, and they may have gotten better in the offseason. They seemed so close to going to the Super Bowl. If I were picking the division, I'd probably pick the Lions, and I might even pick them to win the NFC title game. So if you look at the Bears with their schedule, they have a bunch of games they could win early. They could be you know, they could be 7-2. If you look at their schedule, realistically, it could be a 7-2 team. Oh. And then if you look at all, I know.
No, it's just, we won't need men's arousal medicines in town. It will not be necessary. The volume of arousal in this town will just, I mean, it's already ridiculous, but.
7-2. But like you said, Anthony, if they could somehow get some wins under their belt, get some experience, and then go into playing the Packers twice, the Lions twice, and the Vikings, who knows what the Vikings are going to be without their young quarterback, it feels like a good season. I hope people realize, again, I said this on the Dan Patrick Show a few years ago. Dan Patrick goes, or a couple of weeks ago, he goes, what would be a good season to you? 8 wins, 9 wins? I'm like, no, I don't care what the wins are. I care in January, we look back at the season, like the Bengals fans did a couple of years ago, and they say to themselves, we have our quarterback.
We got a guy.
We have no doubt. We have our quarterback. Let's move on.
I disagree. The way this defense is playing, the way this defense is set up, this is a win season. To me, this is a winning season.
Maddie, when you say that, win what?
10 games. I want 10 wins, and I want to make the playoffs.
A wild card?
Yeah, 10 wins make the playoffs. It can't guarantee a playoff win or anything like that. But for me, I don't care. How about 4,000 yards, 30 touchdowns? I don't care about either of those. My former partner, I forget his name, Paul. It's like it's been a rough week.
Parkins, Schmarkins.
That's what it is. Thank you.
That's his name. That's
but I don't care about 4,000 yards. I don't care about 30 touchdowns. I want 10 wins. This is the time. And if he's got to play more streamlined to get those, I'm okay with that.
I think people nationally might forget that the Bears were decent last year. They finished the season pretty well. Yes. Usually, if you have the first pick of the draft, you're awful. But it almost reminds me of the Indianapolis Colts a few years ago. Remember when Peyton Manning had the neck injury? And they had a good team with Peyton Manning. And Curtis Painter comes in, helps them get the number one pick, and they get Andrew Luck. But Andrew Luck went to a decent team. That doesn't happen that much in sports.
Correct.
And if you go back years and years ago, if you remember David Robinson,
the Admiral, the star
on the Spurs, you know this.
Oh, yes.
The Spurs were good. Uh-huh. And then he has a back injury, and it gets him Tim Duncan, which set them up for the next 12 years.
And was it Brian Hill who got hired? It got fired? It was one of the Hills. Oh. Bob Hill or Brian Hill. Who cares between friends? All right. Two things. One is that the all-time leader in quarterback rating for the Bears with a minimum of 12 games played, is Mitch Trubisky. You know, that's number one in the history of the franchise.
Go Mitchell.
With an 87 quarterback rating.
That's not impressive.
Anybody who's played 12 games or more. Yeah. So I'd add that to the pile. And then there's this. We have Dan Patrick's Marconi Award from a couple years ago.
Yeah.
I have since found out that Lawrence Holmes is the one who knocked it over and broke it. It's now very sharp on the top.
By knocked it over, you meant snapped it over his knee.
I don't exactly know, but this is what I do know. A couple Sundays ago, I was reaching to get something, and I hit the underside of my arm on the award, and it drew blood. Paul, I have
lawsuit.
Your Marconi Award has made me bleed. Your thoughts on that? Sir.
Yeah, I want to inspire you to bleed, to work harder, to do better, to pile up some Marconis. But I think you have like the statute of limitations is over. You guys at the Score could keep Dan's Marconi. If he flies in and picks it up, yes, maybe I'll fly in and pick it up.
Okay.
But it's yours until you hear it otherwise.
Okay, good. You know, Dan Bernstein was saying that maybe it's my superhero origin story that now I'm imbued with the life's blood of the Dan Patrick Show. So I'm going to run with that. I like that one.
Absolutely.
Thanks, Paul. Yeah. Nice talking to you, man. Appreciate it.
By the way, Anthony, saw you play at Bolingbrook High School years ago. I'll never forget it. Number 99 at Iowa. Does that sound right?
That is correct, sir. I appreciate you, Paul. You got a great memory, man.
I have a pretty good memory. Let's have a good season. Hey, I just want to be real quick. Let's all say goodbye to our wife and kids. We're not going to see them for the next 6 months. We're going downstairs to watch some football. Let's focus. Let's close. Let's knock this out. Take care, guys.
I can relate to that.
That's Paul Pabst. I mean, it's already gone on with baseball season for me.
Oh, man.
You know?
How about that?
Can't fake Paulie this Pabst. Game. All right, 670 The Score is where you are. It's Spiegs and Aunt Heron. Are other football towns around this country as excited as we are? They seem to be. Should they be? Let's discuss next on The Score.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
What's the reason to duck? It's here. You know, there's no reason to duck. I'm here. Rome's here. Keenan Allen, you know, top five defense that we had last year. You know, special teams, all the new roles, whatever. You know, we're here. So I'm excited. I know everybody's excited. The Bear fans are excited from what I've heard and seen. And there's no reason to duck. You know, attack it, you know, head first and go get it.
Dude. It's stuff like that that makes you think, like, from a mentality perspective, from a makeup perspective, that kid was made for this. You know? It is out of control. The love affair this town is having with Caleb Williams is out of control. It's Matt Spiegel and Anthony Herron right here with you on 670 The Score. And joining us on The Score Hotline, presented by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book, is Paul Pabst, the executive producer of The Dan Patrick Show. What's up, Paul? Welcome in. How are you?
That cut you just played got me so fired up. I'd like to run through, not like a brick wall, but maybe some light drywall that hasn't been spackled yet that I could really get through. I'm fired up, man.
Yeah, as long as there's no stud behind it, you can be the stud going through it from the front
there
end.
Go.
You know?
Bring me back on the show.
It's outrageous, isn't it, Paul? Like, everything the dude says, is the love affair extending to national quarters like the Dan Patrick Show, sir?
It really is. On the Dan Patrick Show, and I think national media looks at teams, not whether they're good or bad necessarily, but if they're interesting, if they're compelling, if they're storylines. And when they had Fields, they were interesting because Fields was entertaining, but they weren't winning a lot. And then when the Bears had the number one draft pick, they became interesting. Whenever you have control of the draft, you control the news media, you control the sports news media. When Ryan Poles had that draft pick, I think he waited maybe 6 or 7 weeks after the season to let it go. They were the focal point. And then this past year, they were the focal point again of the offseason with the Caleb Williams draft. What are they going to do? Are they going to trade Fields? So they haven't dominated during the regular season, but they've been controlling the media in the offseason.
And your passions as a passionate Chicagoan yourself, and watching this all play out with the Bears, can you comp it to anything else that we've experienced of recent vintage? Yeah, you know, 2018 to 2019 had some expectations built around them with Trubisky. But is there kind of a space that we're in right now that feels new and vibrant in a way that we haven't been for a while with the Bears?
It really is a different level. The only thing I could compare it to, and it's not going to sound right now, but at the time, I think it was maybe April of 09 when the Bears acquired Jay Cutler, who was only like 25, 26 years old for the Denver Broncos. And that day, I can remember like Vince Vaughn tweeted out, "We got our quarterback, the actor." And you know, people in Chicago were going crazy. You got a young gunslinger, big, strong quarterback. It turned out to work in parts. It worked out here and there. It didn't ultimately work out. But I remember the excitement of 2009. It's not to this level, but that's probably the last thing.
No, it's absolutely true. And I was here. I was working. That was a day that everybody went and got their Bears hat and was like, you know what? Let's go. But I mean, goodness, you've been through the worst of it. We've all been through the worst of it. What was the worst chapter for you? What was the lowest point of your relationship with Bears quarterbacks?
Oh, you know what? It's weird that they got to the Super Bowl with Rex Grossman. But it didn't even feel real. I remember it shouldn't sound like a bad day to go to the Super Bowl, but when that Bears team led by their defense got to the Super Bowl, I remember thinking, what are we doing here? Peyton Manning should be in the Super Bowl. Rex Grossman got here. Now, that wasn't awful, but it just didn't feel real. There's been a lot worse days. I mean, when Eric Kramer is the hope, you know, like, all right, that's how good could that be? But I look at the Bears right now, the way they own Chicago is it's the state of Chicago sports. And you guys were just talking about the White Sox. The White Sox are galactically bad, almost entertaining. They're so bad. The Cubs were surprisingly good last year, and then they had some expectations this year, and they disappointed. The Bulls are nondescript. They're not threatening, and they're not interesting, which set the stage for getting Caleb Williams. You get the Hall of Fame game. The Bears get that. Then they get Hard Knocks. Then the preseason. It really couldn't have gone much better on the field in the preseason. And then the schedule this year, we're going to get to that in a minute, but it's setting up to be, it's like no offseason I've ever been part of.
So, well, tell me about the schedule. What are you thinking about with the schedule? The fact that they wait so damn long to play a division game?
Well, I think that is a great thing. If you look at the Bears' schedule, they're home against a very beatable Tennessee team. Now, you talk about how things play in the national media. Let's say Caleb Williams has a nice game. The Bears win handily against Tennessee. Week 2 at Houston, a hot, popular team. 8:20 p.m. Eastern on NBC Sports Football Night in America. If the Bears come in 1-0, you know, obviously 1-0, against Houston that day, it's going to be a referendum on the Bears nationally. They're going to go in hot. If they lose to Houston, I don't think they're going to get lit up too badly because Houston's got a leg up on them. They had a really good year last year. But let's say on national TV, Caleb Williams balls out and has some type of nice game. The Bears will take control of the sport for the next week.
You can see Pauly Papst on twitch.tv/Chicago670. The Score, as you see him all the time, is the executive producer of The Dan Patrick Show. He's here on Score Afternoons with Matt Spiegel and Anthony Herron. The way that the Bears have maneuvered through the offseason up to this point, it does seem like a locker room that's kind of been through some stuff the last couple of years together. You add Caleb and Roma Dunze, and sort of their ease with the limelight is really, you know, sort of having folks feel positive about this team and the ball club, the direction they're going. But the division is so deep, Paulie. So how do you sort of navigate with the Bears their future versus what actually is in a really deep division right now?
Well, I think all of us here and Bears fans should be excited, but I guess temperamental, or, you know, temper their expectations. This is not a season where you should start thinking about a Super Bowl. I think the Lions are the class of the division, and they may have gotten better in the offseason. They seemed so close to going to the Super Bowl. If I were picking the division, I'd probably pick the Lions, and I might even pick them to win the NFC title game. So if you look at the Bears with their schedule, they have a bunch of games they could win early. They could be, you know, they could be 7-2. If you look at their schedule, realistically, it could be a 7-2 team. Oh. And then if you look at all, I know.
No, it's just, we won't need men's arousal medicines in town. It will not be necessary. The volume of arousal in this town will just, I mean, it's already ridiculous, but.
7-2. But like you said, Anthony, if they could somehow get some wins under their belt, get some experience, and then go into playing the Packers twice, the Lions twice, and the Vikings, who knows what the Vikings are going to be without their young quarterback, it feels like a good season. I hope people realize, I said this on the Dan Patrick Show a few years ago. Dan Patrick goes, or a couple weeks ago, he goes, what would be a good season to you? 8 wins, 9 wins? I'm like, no, I don't care what the wins are. I care in January, we look back at the season, like the Bengals fans did a couple years ago, and they say to themselves, we have our quarterback.
We got a guy.
We have no doubt. We have our quarterback. Let's move on.
I disagree. The way this defense is playing, the way this defense is set up, this is a win season. To me, this is a winning season.
Maddie, when you say that, win what?
10 games. I want 10 wins, and I want to make the playoffs.
A wild card?
10 wins, make the playoffs. It can't guarantee a playoff win or anything like that. But for me, I don't care. How about 4,000 yards, 30 touchdowns? I don't care about either of those. My former partner, I forget his name, Paul. It's like, it's been a rough week.
Parkins, Schmarkins.
That's what it is. Thank you.
That's his name.
But I don't care about 4,000 yards. I don't care about 30 touchdowns. I want 10 wins. This is the time. And if he's got to play more streamlined to get those, I'm okay with that.
I think people nationally might forget that the Bears were decent last year. They finished the season pretty well. Yes. Usually, if you have the first pick of the draft, you're awful. But it almost reminds me of the Indianapolis Colts a few years ago. Remember when Peyton Manning had the neck injury? And they had a good team with Peyton Manning. And Curtis Painter comes in, helps them get the number one pick, and they get Andrew Luck. But Andrew Luck went to a decent team. That doesn't happen that much in sports.
Correct.
I mean, and if you go back years and years ago, if you remember David Robinson,
the Admiral, the star
on the Spurs, you know this.
Oh, yes.
The Spurs were good. Uh-huh. And then he has a back injury, and it gets him Tim Duncan, which set them up for the next 12 years.
And was it Brian Hill who got hired? It got fired. It was one of the Hills. Bob Hill or Brian Hill. Who cares between friends? All right. Two things. One is that the all-time leader in quarterback rating for the Bears with a minimum of 12 games played is Mitch Trubisky. You know, that's number one in the history of the franchise.
Go Mitchell.
With an 87 quarterback rating.
That's not impressive.
Anybody who's played 12 games or more. Yeah. So I'd add that to the pile. And then there's this. We have Dan Patrick's Marconi Award from a couple years ago.
Yeah.
I have since found out that Lawrence Holmes is the one who knocked it over and broke it. It's now very sharp on the top.
By knocked it over, you meant snapped it over his knee.
I don't exactly know, but this is what I do know. A couple Sundays ago, I was reaching to get something, and I hit the underside of my arm on the award, and it drew blood. Paul, I have
lawsuit.
Your Your Marconi Award has made me bleed. Your thoughts on that, sir?
Yeah, you know, I wanted to inspire you to bleed, to work harder, to do better, to pile up some Marconis. But I think you have, like, the statute of limitations is over. You guys at the Score could keep Dance Marconi. If he flies in and picks it up, yes, maybe I'll fly in and pick it up.
Okay.
But it's yours until you hear it otherwise.
Okay, good. You know, Dan Bernstein was saying that maybe it's my superhero origin story, that now I'm imbued with the life's blood of the Dan Patrick Show. So I'm going to run with that. I like that
one. Absolutely.
Thanks, Paul. Yeah. Nice talking to you, man. Appreciate it.
By the way, Anthony, saw you play at Bolingbrook High School years ago. I'll never forget it. Number 99 at Iowa. Does that sound right?
That is correct, sir. I appreciate you, Paul. You got a great memory, man.
I have a pretty good memory. Let's have a good season. Hey, I just want to be real quick. Let's all say goodbye to our wife and kids. We're not going to see them for the next 6 months. We're going downstairs to watch some football. Let's focus. Let's close. Let's knock this out. Take care, guys.
I can relate to that.
Man. That's Paul Pabst. I mean, it's already gone on with baseball season for me.
Oh, man.
You know?
How about that?
Can't fake Paulie this Pabst. Game. All right, 670 The Score is where you are at Spiegs and Aunt Heron. Are other football towns around this country as excited as we are? They seem to be. Should they be? Let's discuss next on The Score.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.